Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Como madre orgullosa, siempre quiero lo mejor para mi familia. Y los únicos huevos que compro son Eggland's Best. ¿Casualidad? Para nada. No importa cómo los cocines, siempre están frescos y deliciosos. Además, tienen más vitaminas D y E y un 25% menos de grasas saturadas que los huevos comunes. ¿Por qué conformarse con menos cuando puedes tener lo mejor? Eggland's Best. Mejor sabor, mejor nutrición, mejores huevos. Visita egglandsbest.com para obtener más información.
Welcome to La Liga Weekly, where boring old Barcelona got another 1-0 win. That makes one this season. Lamine Yamal casually popping the ball in the top corner again like he's the new, well, we don't say his name. Alvaro Arbeloa still in the job after Real Madrid's late winner thanks to a Fede Valverde deflection. It was a weekend of late goals, deflected goals, great goals, and obviously this being La Liga, idiotic red cards commensurate with the breakdown of respect between players and officials who do very much seem to hate each other. Oh, and joy of joys, the long throw has arrived. Hey, Hetafe, naturally. It's a brief one, Terry, because I've been running around, but here we are. We are ready to podcast. We're ready to go. You're back in on UK soil, having watched a bit of Hetafe, a bit of the late Saturday game, and let's have a look at the top. It was another good week. I mean, I know that's sort of characterised La Liga in these. We get some great goals, absolutely nailed on this weekend, some absolute belters. And this business of the late red cards where the players just seem to have given up on the ref and the ref like just chucking, you have one, you have one, you have one. And the mess at the end of the Valencia-Alaves game, where he's sort of chucking red cards around, but the match director's got bored and he's gone off somewhere else and come back, and the commentator's thinking, I don't know, how many players are there? There doesn't seem to be enough players. Yeah, there we are. Loads of good things about La Liga. Right, should we do the battle at the top? Should we start chronologically? Because Real Madrid, I mean, they played Friday. Yes. After recent results, boy, they needed a result, and they got one. 94th minute, huge deflection on the shot. How important was that for them? How important was it for Arbeloa?
Oh, hugely important. I mean, it was Friday night, so Barcelona hadn't played. Hmm. The consequences were, if Real Madrid, it looked like it was going to be the draw. I was disappointed in Celta. I thought that was the result they looked for. And I think that they shouldn't have played like that. I saw too many players back behind the ball. They had no out ball. And it kind of invited the pressure on from Real Madrid at the end of the game. And in general, so that's how Celta played. Seeing the Jukla and Borja Iglesias, the two forwards, were back defensively behind the ball most of the games. When they did win possession back, there was no one upfield. And that seems to be a new thing that's appeared in football. And I look at it upon my career as a centre forward. I never did that. I was never asked to do that. Hmm. I mean, it's there's two banks of four for Celta. Why do you need the other two, the two strikers back, goal side, 30 metres deep in their own half, which then invites the Real Madrid centre-backs to push forward, invites the whole Real Madrid team up the pitch. When you win the ball back, you can't get up the pitch, and you can't get out. So you just invite the pressure. And that's what Celta did for majority of the game. And they did it at the last 10, 15 minutes or so. And it played into the hands of Real Madrid and gave Real Madrid weren't good. They weren't bad. It was a difficult game. It is a difficult fixture away from home against Celta Vigo. And they got the job done through Fede Valverde. Aurelien Tchouaméni has been playing amazing the last few weeks. Does it suggest that there's a problem at Real Madrid if he's their best player? Probably, because he's the holding midfield player. He scores a goal and he's been in really good form. So it was looking at the consequences of, they've started the weekend 4 points adrift. If they draw this game, which it looked like it was going to be a draw, and then Barcelona win tomorrow, then you're looking at, that's a heavy haul to claw back. But they were fortunate. But they probably deserved it because of the negativity of Celta Vigo playing against the Real Madrid team that isn't nowhere near the strongest team that Real Madrid could put out. Nowhere near it. And you would think that, and I've said this a few times in recent weeks, why aren't teams having to go a bit more at Real Madrid? Hatafe did last week and it paid off. But Celta just didn't fancy that opportunity in this match.
Yeah, yeah. Message needs, getting through, isn't it, to teams. They hit the post, didn't they? But then Vinny also hit the post as well. He was unlucky, wasn't he? Yeah. At the inside of the post, almost ran across the line.
Yeah.
How critical, we've discussed Trent Alexander-Arnold and his defending before, how critical are you going to be over the Celta goal?
Yeah, I have to be critical. I mean, it's a ball down the channel. He's got the advantage when it comes to the position. He's ahead of Svedberg, I think it is. And he somehow lets Svedberg get across him, and then it's a flimsy challenge to block across, to make sure that Svedberg can't get his head up and find the pass to a teammate in the penalty box. And it's going to be an issue. I mean, I'm getting a closer look now at Trent Alexander-Arnold than I've ever done before. And I know that the narrative and the criticism of him in the past, I've seen him play for England more than I've seen him play for Liverpool, probably. And I've recognised his talents and his cross-field passing, his crosses, his passing down the channel. But as a right back, as a defender, there are question marks. And he's 27 now. Is it too late to change? No. Do I think he's going to change and improve? I hope so, but I don't think he will. And if Klopp can do it for those years he had him at Liverpool. There's other issues. It's not just that one part. There's other parts in it. I see ball go past him and he jogs. And I'm thinking that top class, defender should be sprinting, not relying on someone else to do it. Mm-hmm. So I think he's a super talented technical player with some fantastic attributes. But as a defender, at times you have to defend. And it got me thinking about who are those defenders that are good at both. There's lots of defenders that are very good at defending, but perhaps don't get forward enough. There's lots of defenders that get forward, but not particularly good defensively. And you need the whole package, to be honest. Danny Carvajal has been that. So that's the issue with Real Madrid, that I still think that if Danny Carvajal is fit, he's still my first pick over Trent Alexander-Arnold.
Yeah, it's interesting. You'd like a bit of the Carvajal to rub off on Trent before he departs the scene, Carvajal. Because it was an interesting... It wasn't like... It's not one that's going to be on social media, this bit of defending. It's not one...
Made the Spanish press, though.
They
immediately, the Spanish press jumped all over it.
Yeah, because it's not... He's had some absolute howlers before where he's totally forgotten, seems to have lost concentration or something. He is defending. He just gets quite easily beaten.
Yeah.
And that makes you think...
They have the advantage position as well.
Yeah.
But Svedberg ran past him and round him.
Yeah, yeah. And then got back and got his crossing.
It was easy for Svedberg, too easy.
Because then you sort of think, it's almost, you're damning him by faint praise by defending him in a way, because then you're almost thinking, well, hang on, is he not capable of defending against Willy at Svedberg?
That's a problem.
Yeah, yeah. It's not just that he switches off at times, but it's like, when he got down to the defender, because he was there to defend it, and he...
Yeah, I think that the Spanish press have picked up on what the English press have been saying, but because he's newly signed, because he's been injured, we haven't seen him much playing for Real Madrid, and there have been one or two recent mistakes. I mean, it was sheer glory the other week when he was hitting the crossfield passes and he put in a crossing for Gonzalo Garcia, and everything in the garden was rosy. Since then, there's been a couple of errors, and I think they've jumped on it now. So immediately, that was on the night, before the game finished, that was in the Spanish press at the live feed of Real Madrid, and the blame was on Alexander-Arnold. And then because it's in the Spanish press, it's picked up in the English press, and then it went on social media. That's what happens nowadays. And yeah, I think he was his defending was poor for a goal.
Yeah.
And I don't want to come in on here, and I don't want to do either. I don't want to come in here and back an English player just because he's English.
Mm.
I don't want to criticise an English player just because he's English and playing for Real Madrid. I have to look at him as any other Real Madrid level player.
Mm.
So he's not the only one you could criticise from Real Madrid, but in this, there's been a couple of goals recently that he's been all over, to be honest, that Real Madrid have conceded.
Yeah. How are they going to get on against Manchester City?
It depends on the players. I mean, they lost 2-0 this season, didn't they, at home in the qualifier, in the group stages. It depends on who's available. Camavinga's got wisdom teeth problems. He's had the wisdom teeth removed. There's a possibility he could be fit. They were talking about Mbappe and Bellingham being fit for the second leg in a week's time. Suddenly, out of nowhere, they've got a chance of being fit. Whether that's propaganda to try and, you know, put some doubt into Manchester City's mind that, are we playing this Real Madrid team with all those big hitters missing? Or might they be there?
Mm.
I'd be surprised. I mean, Mbappe's one is a weird one. The timeline of the injury, when he's been fit, when he's not been fit, how it's been treated, then he's been to Paris, and now he's was due to be fit. And that was reasonable to expect him that he might be fit for the second leg. Now they're talking about the first leg. So if he's fit and he's 100%, he makes such a difference, ridiculous difference. I mean, they played Brahim Diaz up front in this one against Celta. Goulet was on the right, Vinny on the left. Thiago Pitoch deserves a mention at 18. He looks a fabulous player. But this Real Madrid, defensively, it was Asensio and Rudiger, missing important players at the back again, of course. It's Carreras was missing. It depends on who's fit for Real Madrid. Mm. They're nowhere near the strongest, but if they start getting some of those players back, then, you know, it's a different proposition. But while they're relatively weak in terms of team selection, it's going to be tough for them against Manchester City.
Yeah. Yeah. So that is Wednesday.
Yeah.
Isn't it? The Mbappe one is weird, isn't it? Where you don't want him, you don't really want him being risked given the rest of the season. But having said that, it's a huge game, yeah, isn't it? Against a very strong opposition. So,
and there's talk of Haaland being missing for Manchester City as well. People are not sure whether he's was rested at the weekend or just absent through injury. Yeah. He's got an injury issue as well. That happens this stage of the year. Teams get injuries. We're seeing what happens regarding the Club World Cup. We said all season, didn't we? Let's wait and see how it goes. It is in a tournament. We should forget that certain teams did play in that, and we wondered how they would progress as the season went on, and that we would decide at the end of the season what impact it had. Real Madrid are one of those teams that participated in that.
Yeah, look patched up, aren't they? Very much.
Now you look at a Real Madrid team that's patched up all the way through now.
Yeah, yeah. Right, let's move on to Barcelona, who did not play in the Club World Cup. Terry, they had an XG, Barcelona XG, 0.4.
Yeah.
Which is, it's like, what? It's like you missed a bit out of the first column or something. But luckily, they do have Lamine Yamal.
Yeah. That's it. That's the story of the game, to be honest. I mean, Athletic Club huffed and puffed. They had a couple of half chances as well. But they're not a team that create an abundance of chances. They missed Nico Williams. That's a big loss to them, that he's not fit on a regular basis. And it was a bunch of... It's another game. And we talk about Celta Vigo at home to Real Madrid. It's a tough game. You know, Osasuna beat Real Madrid recently. That's a tough game. This is a tough game. I know... Barcelona have thumped them 5-4-0 this season, but one was at home in the league, one was in Saudi in the Super Cup. In general terms, this is a tough fixture for Barcelona, for Real Madrid, for Atletico Madrid. So I didn't expect this to be 3-4-0, and it wasn't, and Athletic nearly got the draw. I thought Adama Buaro, the left back of Athletic Club, played Lamine Yamal as well as anyone else this season. But there is a time when a bit of magic appears. And that magic coincided with a pass from another magical player in Pedri coming off the bench.
Mm.
So the two of them combined more often in the second half. And one of those does lead to Lamine Yamal. The footage is marvellous. When you see the goal, initially you see it, I can call it Pedri, good pass, good touch from Lamine Yamal. But when Pedri passes it, such is the weight of the pass from Pedri. And it's quite a straightforward pass. But Lamine Yamal controls it without even looking at the ball. Because he knows the weight of the pass isn't a problem for him to control. So as his first touch, his head is up, looking at the goal, looking at the defender, looking in that direction. And his first touch takes it, a perfect first touch. Second one to set him up. And it was interesting seeing Unai Simon after the game coming across laughing and joking with Lamine Yamal. And I'm pretty sure he was saying, I knew what you were going to do, and I still couldn't save it.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Because he's been at the other end of the pitch when Lamine Yamal has been doing that for the national team. So it was, Barcelona huffed and puffed like Athletic Club. It was a competitive game. And, it was all down to that one piece of brilliance between a couple of players that combine and get them the 3 points. It's one or two issues for Barcelona.
Yeah.
Which are not going to go away unless one of the strikers kicks into form. And it's a little bit harsh on Lewandowski because he's had injury issues. So he hasn't been able to play the 40, 50 games that he's normally played by this time of the season, got his 30 goals. He's been on the bench. There's been doubt about his performances. Ferran Torres had that really good spell where I can't seem to make up my mind now whether what we're seeing now is the normal Ferran Torres.
Yeah.
And he's gone back to what he has always been. But he had that purple patch where he suddenly looked the answer to Barcelona's centre-forward problem. But he isn't at the moment. Hansi Flick has said that he's lacking confidence. He had a chance in the first half where he just passed up the opportunity to shoot. And it was an easy finish. I'm not saying he would have scored, but it was the easy choice was to go for goal and shoot, and he laid it back. And that smacks of a player that's scared to miss. And once you've got that frame of mind, he's not a natural striker. He's always been a player that can play deeper or play wider. But he had a purple patch where he was scoring goals and he's pressing from the front because he was younger than Lewandowski, was impressive, which led to maybe him being the first choice. But now suddenly people are asking, should Lewandowski be reinstated? And that's my opinion, is that he should be. I mean, there are other solutions. I mean, it is a problem. The central position for Barcelona is a problem. The constant shuffling around of defenders is a problem as well. Yeah. When you compare it to last season, where it was Koundé and Baldi, Kubasi and Iñigo Martínez all the way through the season, pretty much, until they picked up injuries towards the end of the season. This year, it's all over the place. Eric Garcia, we didn't never know in the team where he's going to be playing, right back, centre back, centre midfield. And that's how Barcelona are looking. So they had their differences from last season. They're still good. They're still in great shape. They need a striker that they can count on. And I think that Lewandowski's, he knows the course. I mean, he knows how to play without maximum confidence. He knows the basic fundamentals of being a world-class striker. And he knows from now to the end of the season, this is the critical period. So if I was Hansi Flick, the rotating of the two has left both of them without confidence. And I think it's probably time now to say, I need to pick one and play him.
If
it's Lewandowski starting, 15 minutes to go, Ferran Torres come on, that's fine. But we've seen half and half and 60 minutes for Lewandowski or 60 minutes for Ferran Torres, and that sort of ekes away at centre forward's confidence. The only thing they're sure of is that manager isn't sure about them anymore. And that's where the problem lies. So Hansi Flick needs to pick one. I would pick Lewandowski, trust him. I mean, this is his time of the season. You know, he's not going to win any top scorer awards this year. He's not going to win the Pachichi. He's not going to be the top scorer in the Champions League, but he could get important goals between now and the end of the season. The other option is Dani Olmo, Marcus Rashford. And they play someone else in there because Dani Olmo's played as a false nine for the national team, and it's something he probably could do. At the moment, he's probably not as confident as he should be because he's in competition with Fermín López for the number 10 position.
Yeah.
So there are some issues with Barcelona. It's not all plain sailing, but they do have gifted players that get them out of trouble.
Is Rafinha back for the Newcastle game? Will he be starting?
Yeah, he came off the bench and said he's fit. Fine. They travelled directly on Saturday night straight to Newcastle. I think Sunday morning.
Right.
I think someone said they checked out at a certain time on Sunday morning to
fly. Good city. Probably go down the quayside, have a night's out.
Yeah. Someone said they checked out early on Sunday to avoid the extra charge of being checking out after midday.
So, like 15 euros a room or something.
So I think they stayed in Bilbao Sunday night, travelled Sunday morning to Newcastle. And we're training in a couple of days in Newcastle before the game on Tuesday evening. Which kind of makes sense. That's the nature of a footballer now, is it? Pointless flying to Bilbao and then flying back to Barcelona and then flying over to Newcastle.
But they do normally, don't they? I always think they have too many flights. Not just from an environmental point of view, but also from, I don't know, spending all your time in airports, which is, you don't particularly enjoy. So, I would think just get together and have a couple of days training in Newcastle and then be ready for the game. But they won there early in the season, didn't they? Rashford was probably his best time, wasn't it, for Barca?
It's a tough game. It will be a tough game again for Barcelona. But in this one, Rafinha came back. Is he back to his best? No. He's good, but he's not the magical player I'm talking about with Pedri and Lamine Yamal at the moment. Can he be? Yes. Is it possible? It's Tuesday against Newcastle. Every chance. So I think his uncertainty comes from his not being able to trust his body this season. So I think that puts doubt in a player's mind, to sprint and to work as hard as he does on a regular match-to-match basis, which he did for pretty much most of the last season. This season, that hasn't been fluent because he's broken down quite a few times this season with injury, with muscle strains. So I think his lack of confidence comes from within himself regarding his physical shape. Once he gets over that, then he's not bad at the moment. He's not nowhere near bad. He's good, but he's not at the top of his game yet. And if that comes, that's a big help for Barcelona.
Yes. Atletico Madrid got a 3-2 win against Real Sociedad. Hopefully the Copa del Rey final will be something along those kind of lines. Atleti kept getting in the lead and Real Sociedad's levellers were incredible. Incredible strikes to the ball, weren't they? So it's a good win for Atleti, given that.
I'm surprised with the strength of the Atleti team. And more changes were made by Real Sociedad.
Yeah.
Matarazzo made more changes than we expected. A really, really changed Atletico Madrid team, and it wasn't. When you look at it and you're thinking, well, he'll play against Spurs, perhaps he's looking at the strength of the opposition on Tuesday night, thinking this might be a harder game, Real Sociedad, than Spurs. I'm sure he isn't. That's just me being pessimistic about being a Spurs fan. But I was surprised that, Oblak plays in everything but the Copa del Rey. Molina played instead of Llorente, possible. But then you had Jimenez, he played instead of Pubil. Hansko played, Ruggier played, Giuliano played, Koke played, Lookman played, Soloff played, Griezmann come off the bench and was superb, honestly. Nico Gonzalez come off the bench, two great goals. It was a fun game. I didn't expect it to be a fun game. It certainly wouldn't have been a fun game 2 months ago, before Matarazzo took over. But it was a warm up for the Copa del Rey final, and if this was anything to go by, we can look forward to a classic in that game.
Yes,
they were really good. The goals were good from all. I thought Atleti's goals were good as well. Soloff slams his home on the volley, and Nico Gonzalez after a fantastic back heel from Griezmann, and Nico Gonzalez again, not for the first time this season, does fantastically well in the air. Griezmann, Nico Gonzalez, will they play against Spurs? Team B Spurs, a black in goal. Llorente, Pubil, Hansko, Ruggeri, Giuliano, Koke. Who would be the other midfield player? Rodri Mendoza's picked up an injury, wouldn't have played anyway. It'd probably be Johnny Cardoso.
Would you not play Llorente?
In midfield?
There, yeah.
Well, I'm going to put this to our listeners. I want a team. I'm getting fed up with it, actually. With players, I don't know where they're going to play when we get the team sheets. And I'm pretty sure I was going to challenge our podcast, our listeners, to come up with, we can't do goalkeeper, of course, a team of outfield players that would be the most confusing to write down in a starting 11.
Yes, I see what you mean.
If you had if you had Eric Garcia in it, for instance, Marcos Llorente, they're the two off the top of my head. There are others I was looking at over the weekend and thinking, oh, Geno, where is he going to play? Is he playing centre-back, right-back, right-wing-back or centre midfield? So there's enough of those players to make a team that if us poor commentary teams were to get a lineup from kickoff and we go, but where's he playing today? Where's Eric Garcia playing? Where's Geno playing? Where's Llorente? Is he going to play right-back? Is he going to play midfield? Lookman's creeping into that as well now. He started up front in this one, but he's been playing out wide on the left. And you're thinking, when we get the team sheet, is Lookman going to be out front or is he going to be out on the left? And there's far too many of those players knocking around in football these days.
Just like versatility.
Numerous positions.
Tactical flexibility, Terry. It's all about the commentators. a person
like I'm nice, neat and tidy, don't we? When we get the 11 and we go, it's a back ball. Is there? There's three in midfield and there's four in midfield. He's playing up front. None of this. Well, we don't know where he's playing. Is he playing at the back? Is he playing in midfield? Is he playing up front? So I'm going to try and come up with a team of versatile players that could play anywhere.
Annoyingly versatile players.
Annoying versatile 11.
So finish off that. So you can't decide who you want in midfield.
Cardoso probably starts. I think in recent games, Cardoso has been playing in midfield. I think if Barrios was fit, he'd play with Koke.
Yeah.
You play Lookman on the left. My big question is, what I'm leading to is, does Julian Alvarez play?
Right, yeah, with Soloff in a sort of 4-4-2.
Or is it with Soloff? Or is it with Lookman? Or is it with Griezmann?
Yeah.
And that's the debate. At the moment, Griezmann's playing far better than Julian Alvarez.
Mm.
Far better. But that's a massive call.
Yeah.
To leave out Julian Alvarez in a big game. So, I mean, does Bayern play on the left? Does Lookman play on the left? Does Lookman play up front alongside Soloft or Julian Alvarez? So there's... But this 11 at the weekend was far stronger. Had more of the players in it that I think will start against Spurs than I thought. I thought we were going to see. I mean, even Norman's not getting a game at the moment.
Mm.
He didn't even come on in this one. So that's a concern, you know, regarding... His future at the club, I would suggest, and his performance, his role for the national team in the World Cup.
Yeah.
A position that Spain are not blessed with obvious choices, to be honest.
Yeah.
In the Euros, it was Laporte and the Normands, wasn't it?
Yeah.
The two Frenchmen, basically. And if you're going into it now, would it be Laporte? I don't think it would, to be honest.
Mm.
Is it Kubasi? Pubil suddenly rose up the ranks.
They've got that Argentina game coming up, haven't they, next couple of weeks? The Finalissimo, whatever it's called.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, yes.
And then on the other end, you could say Lenormand's De La Fuente might be happy that he's not playing 60 games.
Yeah.
And he goes into the World Cup with...
Yeah, but mix that. You want some games, though. Yeah, people mention players who are never playing, and I think, no, well, he can't go. He's got to play some. A respected voice said to me, if Atleti don't beat Spurs, it's La Liga's reputation in the bin.
Probably fair, to be honest. It probably is true. I think we're starting to see some more consistency now with Atleti.
Yeah.
And Atleti are, I would say, dangerous opponents in this competition. Now they've got to the cup final, Copa del Rey.
Mm-hmm.
I've been critical, most people have been critical of their league campaign. It's a bit, to be honest. I mean, they're third with 54 points. They're 14 points behind Barcelona.
Yeah.
That's abysmal. But they could have a fantastic season. They could have one of their best ever seasons if they were to win the Copa del Rey and win the Champions League. With that squad of players, they can win.
They've never won the Champions League, have they? So, they're, you know.
Historic. Yeah. And this squad could win it. And when we talk about that squad of players, who's playing here, who's playing there, Lil Man's not playing much lately. Jimenez is not playing much lately. Those two together would be formidable, let alone the fact that Longley is behind them. So there's five deep, really good centre-backs. And, you know, you go around the positions of the squad. I'm talking about, does Julian Alvarez or Griezmann play? What a choice that is. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, they will spell danger in this competition. I expect them to go through against Spurs, but then if they do, I expect Barcelona to go through against Newcastle. And that's the tie for the next round, which I'm not a fan of, I have to be honest, knowing the route to the final.
Oh, yeah, knowing the route. Yeah, no, I don't agree you should know the route. But that's because they make draws so painfully complicated that they now don't want too many draws. That's a nonsense bit of it.
Yeah, so immediately there's a better half of the draw and a weaker half of the draw.
Yeah.
And there is one clear one in the Champions League this year. All the big ones are in one side. And
So when you get that bit of disappointment in a draw, which is fair enough, but it ruins the fun of it a little bit because when if you get a disappointment, you go, and they do that.
Looking for excitement? Chumba Casino is here. Play anytime, play anywhere. Play on the train, play at the store, play at home, play when you're bored. Play today for your chance to win and get daily bonuses when you log in. So what are you waiting for? Don't delay. Chumba Casino is free to play.
Experience social gameplay like never before. Go to Chumba Casino right now to play hundreds of games, including online slots, bingo, Slingo, and more. Live the Chumba life at ChumbaCasino.com.
Terms and conditions apply.
Bring that forward, bring that disappointment forward and let you know all about the disappointment. I don't see the point of that. It's not like it's a World Cup where you need the logistics because both teams are playing away.
Exactly.
You know, if you're going through, you're going to have a home game on the Tuesday or the Wednesday.
Yeah.
And then an away game. You know, that's
exactly.
Yeah, no, I agree. Yeah. Let's do some other games. Late, interesting, fun games. Let's do Osasuna 2. Mallorca 2.
This is so late, isn't it?
Yeah. And they were 2-0 up 89 minutes, Mallorca. It's a chaotic game, isn't it?
Yeah, Virgili gets a red card, doesn't he, when they're 2-0 up?
Yeah, so they're 2-0 up. Marici gets both goals. One a howler by the goalkeeper, one absolute bit of quality from the big man. Then they have a man sent off. But then Osasuna have a man sent off, 82 minutes.
Well, Garcia.
Yeah, and it's still 89. We still get there, and it's 2-0 to Mallorca, and it ends up as a draw.
Kike Baja gets the goal. How many times did we say in the game of football, especially with the amount of times added on? Funny enough, the Celta-Real Madrid game the other night, wasn't there 50 minutes to come up? 50 in the top corner, added on time at the end. It changed to 5, but I thought, that's going to happen.
One day,
in this, so we often say, oh, game over, 2-0, 5 minutes to go, and it's not.
I never say that. I must, in my defence, I hear commentators say, oh, that's it, done at 82, and you think, well, Robert, is that 15 minutes ago?
So wrong. Yeah. It's so wrong to say that. You're telling people to switch off now. Don't watch. This game's done. Switch over, watch another game or watch something else. So this one is a perfect example. So they're 2-0 down. They have a man sent off. So it's now 10-0, their numerical advantage has gone. And then they score two goals. Kiki Baja, 89. The game goes on and on. Budimir scores after everyone disallowed him. He had one disallowed in the 85th minute. Was offside. Then Kiki Baja scores. Then Budimir gets a 94th minute equaliser. And I think it's his first goal ever against Mallorca since he left the club, and it was Raul Garcia's red card. I can't remember that before. It was a foul on Samu Costa. There was not a lot in it. Virgili's one was a definite red card. He's one of those where he's chased the player, tried to hack him down, barely touches him, but the intent was, you know, a cynical professional foul to put a stop to an attack. And so I'm all in favour for those getting red cards. It was a fabulous game. Di Michelis must have thought he was home and dry. First game away from home against Osasuna. Marici doing his stuff. 18 goals now for Marici. Incredible.
Incredible, isn't it? Because they could go down. He's only five behind Mbappe.
I mean, how many those teams that were flirting with relegation and in that... No one done them have got Very few have got up. I can't imagine any of them have got a striker in double figures.
Mm.
And there he is with 18. Yeah. And the first goal was a disaster from Sergio Herrera. His second goal was nothing like a Marici goal, was it? A run, dribble, shot, same as Budimir's.
Mm.
When you see Budimir scored, you're thinking that must have been a header. No, it wasn't. It was a fabulous goal from Budimir. So that was a good game, and that's a promising for Mallorca. But a massive blow that they didn't hang on to the two-goal lead and then the 2-1 lead and they end up dropping 2 points.
I know we've said this before, but I'm going to say it again. The fixtures for the teams at the bottom are incredible. It's like there's some kind of mini tournament about to happen. You know, with the number of 6-pointers, all the teams at the bottom have got to play each other. Valencia 3, Alaves 2 being a case in point. Quique Sanchez Flores seems to be the coach of Alaves, Terry. I don't know if we've picked up on that. There he was. And again, so 90 minutes, Alaves are winning, and it turns around, and Valencia get the 3-2 win. That's the one with then two reds at the end for Alaves. It was an absolute, it was a shambles of a game at the end, but fun.
It was, if unless you're an Alaves fan. Mm. And there was a couple of penalties in this, and I must admit, I'm looking at, I can see what the proposed offence is on Hugo Jura at the end.
Yeah.
But I thought he was 6-1, half a dozen to the other. Him and Pacheco were pulling and pulling each other. It was a little bit of a wrestling. Of course, the striker's going to hit the deck.
Mm.
The defender isn't. The striker's going to go down and then claim the foul, and the referee pulled it. But likewise, I couldn't. I none the wiser for the Alaves penalty in the second minute of the game. There is a trailing leg that might have been left in, but the forwards jumped, flopped to the ground, and the referees bought it. I imagine there's players looking at their referee now thinking, oh, Mark, mate, take a note of his name. Fuck yourself down on the floor. He might consider a penalty. So there was two penalties in that. I'm not sure entirely why. And Alaves, he's the right manager. It's a good choice. Might have cowed it, it's left to go and take the job at River Plate. So that's a big deal for him. A big job in Argentinian football. He's gone back home. And yeah, that's so everyone was understanding it was an opportunity he couldn't turn down. He didn't get the sack. And Quique Sanchez Flores, that style of play, 2 up front, 4-4-2. That's what he's done in recent years. It looked like he was going to get something from this game for a long period. It looked like he was going to win it. But Valencia turned it round. It sees their relegation woes. Not completely by any means, but it would have been catastrophic if they'd lost to Alaves in this match. Alaves would have gone up to 29 points. Valencia would have been on 29. It would have been, a real problem for them. So it's a massive win. It's quite atmospheric now in the Mestalla. They've got a little run going. There was a period where they were really against Corberan. That's turned around with a couple of wins recently. I don't support Valencia, but I would hate to see a big club like Valencia go down.
Yeah, agreed. For I mean, Peter Lim deserves it, but nobody else connected with the club does. Levante 1, Girona 1. Talking about, this has got a bit of everything from this weekend's theme, hasn't it? It's got a horror of a tackle that leads to a red card. And then a 94th minute goal it's a whole roller coaster of emotion. The goal itself, isn't it? It's a goal. It's not a goal. It's a goal again.
Yeah.
And in the end, Levante, I mean, they get a draw. They need more, but then they're in this run of games against teams around them.
Yeah, and they've got a chance. I mean, it's tough for them.
Mm.
But and the two extra points from this game, if they'd held on, would have been wonderful for them. Carlos Espy looks, he's 20 years old. I keep saying about him, he's one to watch, and he's producing now on a weekly basis. Fantastic header to score again. That's the type of centre field he is. Big, strong, powerful, young. He's given them a chance. So he gets the goal. I couldn't see. It was relentless, though, when Girona had the man advantage. Levante couldn't get out. Matty Bryan was making save after save. And it was just, could they hold on? They couldn't. And it was a weird one, because at first I'm looking at goal and thinking, that's got to be disallowed. Vanette's offside. He's blocking the goalkeeper. But he wasn't, actually.
No.
He was just for the side of the shot. It was a heavy deflection.
Yeah.
From a Levante player. So it probably was the correct call.
Yeah. Yeah, no, yeah, I agree.
Eventually, as you said, Girona celebrated, then the flag went up, then it was disallowed, and then VAR got involved, and then it turned around again. So as you said, it was a real roller coaster.
Yeah, literally one goal. Villarreal beat Elche.
Rice, is it? Rice? It was the sitter after it, which should have won it for Girona.
Yeah.
He had a free header, 6 yards out, put it over the bar. So that's another dramatic ending in that game. Sorry, John.
That's all right. Villarreal beat Elche by 2-1. Another quality goal, Buchanan, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Twisting and turning, and then he absolutely arrows in. And I think that's no win in 10 in La Liga for Elche, which is hugely problematic. Initially, their league position sort of defied gravity for the start of this. And now they've plummeted now, haven't they? And they're just outside the drop zone.
And you know, the worry is they're playing well. So wait until they start playing bad. I mean, even in the game, they score a goal at the end. It gives them a chance. They're not being thrashed. They're in every game they play. They the week before against Espanyol, they should have won, but they ended up drawing Espanyol, similarly in terms of they haven't won a game since Christmas. I do fear now for Elche that, not just because they're not winning games, but they're playing well and not winning. And suddenly I'm going to look at a game and go, cool, they were poor today. You know, their confidence has completely gone. So Edis Arabia has got a massive job there to convince those players that things will turn around if they continue to. You don't often see teams playing well in pretty much most of the games and not picking up wins. Normally that happens, and then, you know, they're playing poorly. They're dreadful. You know, mistakes and stuff like that. But they end up losing. I mean, Santa Marino's goal was a good goal as well. I wasn't sure it was him because I'm not sure why the right back was there and how the right back had the technique to take it. Like, I must admit, at first I thought it was Mkhitaryan. It was a lovely take, lovely finish. And it's the right back who's got in that position. Villarreal are good. They're good at home. And Elche gave them a run for their money. Again, coming up short, not getting anything. So, yeah, it's a problem for Elche.
Yeah, and a good result in terms of the Champions League qualification, isn't it? Because they're 11 points actually ahead of Betis. With what we got, 11 to go. So it's hard to make a case for Betis getting in after another defeat. They lost, you commentating this one, weren't you? The Hetafe game. This was the long throw that I referred to, Terry, but it's not yet sort of come and taken over the whole of Spanish football. But it's good.
He was playing right back, left back. He kept changing positions. Hetafe were really confusing with their lineup and how much it changed during the game. It confused the hell out of Betis. And we had the highlight of the game. I mean, Hetafe were really good doing what Hetafe do. I'm not going to criticise them in the slightest. The new signings have made such a difference. Centre-backs, the two boys up front, Satriano and Vasquez, and other players are playing better. It's Bordeaux ball at its finest at the moment. They're playing with confidence and belief. They beat Real Madrid away last week. They battered Betis in this match. There was very little coming the other way from Betis. Too many changes from Pellegrini because they have Panathinaikos on Thursday in the Europa League. Made too many changes, and you can't do that against a team like Hetafe. The highlight of the game was the crowd doing the Olays at the end of the match when it was heading the ball up in the air and volleying the ball up in the air. If they weren't doing Olays when, like, Hetafe were keeping the ball for, like, 15, 20 passes. They were doing Olays when Domingos Duarte headed it up in the air and then Gené volleyed it up in the air. But as it come back down, Satriano was heading it up in the air and stuff like that. They're going, Olay, Olay. Fabulous. So, yeah, Hetafe, dare we say it, gone from relegation candidates to the team that I... halfway through, I remember saying on a podcast, I didn't think they had the players that Bordeaux could utilise and play the way he wants to, and I thought they would go down. And then they signed 5 or 6 in the transfer window, none of them permanently, didn't spend any money. It's a bit controversial that they were allowed to do it because there's this issue with Cristantes Uche's money that Crystal Palace were going to pay them, which is not going to happen now. They'll be using that as their part of their financial fair play.
Yeah.
And it, that's not going to happen. And they had to go and appeal it, the fact that they couldn't sign anyone. If they hadn't signed anyone, they'd be relegated.
Right, yeah.
But they managed to get four South Americans in, three that are playing in Europe that are not getting a game at their clubs. And they've come in and they've been fabulous. They made such a difference. And they look, and when the Europe was mentioned, it was shut down straight away, borderless. Yeah. No, but I don't think, if he's staying at Hetafe, he doesn't want European football. Half this team are going to disappear next season.
Yeah.
And be back to picking up the phone and ringing Alan Neum again in the summer after they release him again. Have you got a clue, Alan? No. Do you fancy another year? Okay, go on then.
Yeah, squeeze in. Yeah, can I play left wing?
I'll give pre-season a miss because I'm 37. I'll come in September. So, Hetafe, all about survival. They're 10 clear now.
Also about survival. Sevilla, Rayo Vallecano, 1-1 draw. Let's have a look at the table again. So Sevilla 31, six yeah. points, both on 31, 6 points above.
Points above.
Yeah, which is, it's worth having. It's not decisive.
No, because I think we will expect Mallorca, an improvement from Mallorca at some stage. I know we've been saying it for a long time, which then, you know, it does. I do think that I'm not convinced they'll stay up, but I expect an improvement. Change of manager might help. They nearly got a result of the weekend. So 6 points is a good advantage. Valencia are seven clear now. I think six, those two, is probably the cut-off point now. I think Valencia will be okay.
At 32.
Valencia are seven clear.
Yeah.
So Alaves are still in trouble. Elche are in trouble.
Yeah, I mean, there is a bit of a gap. There is a bit of a bottom five, isn't there? But I think, as I say, honestly, open up the fixtures of everyone, have a look at them. And the amount of six-pointers to be played between now and the end of the season is enormous. Exactly. So it's very hard to plot, isn't it? Who's...
Acre Adams, by the way, he went away and I didn't rate him at all. Right. I joked a few times in comms and on the podcast that he didn't even know the offside rule. He went away to the African Cup of Nations. He's come back a different player.
Yeah.
He's like, if he was injured now, you go, oh, don't fancy Seville this week. Acre Adams isn't fit. Mm. He's come back and looked so good. I think he had a good tournament. And he's come back with confidence and belief and looks the real deal. Mm. So not surprised to see him get a goal. Loved the goal from Pacho Espino. Loved the reaction from the bench of Rio, Inigo Perez. Was laughing. Pacho Espino is out the side of the big hitters in Spain, is one of my favourite players, to be honest. Mm. Hustle and bustle, wherever he's played for, and really dependable. Never cost anyone a lot of money. Never been any aggro. He scores a world in this one, doesn't he? And you're thinking, what? When he scores, it's one of those, what? Who was that? Pacho Espino, surely not. And you saw the reaction on the bench, though, and with the teammate slapping him on the head. If you haven't seen it, it's a cutback. He's 25 yards out and he wraps his left foot around it, but chips and curls it towards the far post and beats the keeper. Lovely goal. Wonderful goal. He looked surprised that he went in as well.
Yeah.
In one of those.
Yeah. Weekend of excellent goals. Now then, we've got Champions League, all the European games coming up midweek. We'll come back and discuss those with Patreons back end of the week. It'll have to be, because they've got to play the games, yeah? That's how it works. So we will see. So England versus Spain showdown. Not sure I always enjoy those, if I'm honest, and everything that goes around it. But there we are. We can't avoid it.
And we shouldn't forget Espanyol Oviedo tonight.
Oh, yes. Yes.
With all due respect. The Monday
with all
night,
due respect. Due respect Espanyol also haven't won this year, have they?
Yeah. So,
and Oviedo, well, they're away, so they might even score a goal. You never know.
Yeah.
Right. So, everyone, thank you very much for listening to the podcast. Patrons, we'll see you later in the week. Terry, have a good week, and I'll see you soon.
What's up, fools? Main Event Jey Uso here from the WWE. When it's just me between matches, it's day one-ish. And that means it's Chumba time. With hundreds of casino-style games and new titles arriving weekly, there's always something fresh to try at Chumba Casino. The daily boosts make it even more fun. And have me about to get them all during my downtime. Ready for a fun way to chill out and enjoy a few minutes for yourself? Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.